This episode of the Startup Podcast is sponsored by OPM Entrepreneurial Services. OPM is the premier provider of CFO and accounting services to the entrepreneurial community. For those companies needing sophisticated insight and direction, OPM will become your part-time CFO, giving guidance and direction in risk management, fund sourcing, and financial modeling. For companies not yet sized for CFO services but needing solid accounting practices and procedures, OPM offers a robust controller package that gives you and your investors peace of mind knowing the books are in order. Find them online at opmfinancial.com. Episode 54 of Startup Conversations with Louisville Entrepreneurs. My name is Dan Vonderhyde. I'm a weekly host for these conversations with people who are making it happen in the Louisville startup and entrepreneurial community. Doing it myself these days, jumping full bore and with both feet into the podcasting world. My Kickstarter looks like it's going to kick over. I have 3 days left to go as of the publishing of this podcast. So if you like to contribute and you feel strongly about what I'm doing, by all means, you can donate at kickstarter.com and do a quick search for Louisville.am. I'm going to build a studio to help other podcasters discover what they can do in the realm of on-demand online audio, and going to set up studio space and do this Louisville.am network and all sorts of stuff. And I've worked my way through the Nucleus Lean Launchpad thing, and that wrapped up this week, and I feel pretty good about it. So thank you for helping out and for paying attention and listening to this podcast. Thank you also to OPM Entrepreneurial Services for kicking in their sponsorship. I certainly do appreciate it. It helped me get through the Nucleus thing, and hope we can continue that relationship. This week I talked with Matt McCarthy, whose product LiveSportsCaster.com is also a podcasting platform, and he's doing really cool things where he's allowing anybody who wants to do a sports podcast on here, and it's an ad-supported deal, and we talk a lot about that. Of course, I have a special interest because I'm the podcast guy, and I found this guy. He actually found my Kickstarter and contacted me through that, and we decided to sit down and talk about the future of podcasting and how we're both approaching it. I'm sorry if I'm beating this dead horse, but hey, you know, if you're on fire about something, you just got to do it. That's the nature of entrepreneurship. Am I right about that? Am I wrong about that? I love it. So we sit down and talk with Matt about what his plan is and how he got started with this whole thing and what he's doing in terms of financing and where he sees this thing going. Interesting conversation. He's a real smart guy. He has real smart partners, and their team makes up a nice little unit. So without further ado, Matt McCarthy with LiveSportsCaster.com. I don't think the spit guard has, or the windscreen has been, you know, soaked in any poopy water or anything. No. Yeah. So we're in the studios of 1450 The Sports Buzz, right?
That's correct, yeah.
And I want to get into all that partnership on how you guys have teamed up and what it is you're doing. But let's talk about your background and where you came from and what your interest in podcasting is and how you got started in all of this.
Well, really, it's kind of a funny story. It all generated from my excitement with web design. Believe it or not, I started a website. I've been doing web design for probably since I was a sophomore in high school. Just got interested in it, building computers. I built my very first computer myself, so I've always been interested in that aspect of it. But I got into web design about my sophomore year of high school, and just kept doing that. I built hundreds of websites that I can think of. Off WordPress, Joomla.
Name every single one of them.
Yeah, here we go.
Right now.
Starting off. Mainly my main interest started there, and it's kind of funny how it happened. We started a sports site just because I wanted another aspect of my portfolio to have. This is what I can do. Here's a sports site.
Okay.
Here's a construction site that I've built.
And why were you building this portfolio, if I may interrupt?
Just for side income. I kind of wanted to use web design as a side income opportunity.
So this wasn't like you were like, I'm building a portfolio for my resume. It was
right, exactly.
This is...
Yep,
how I can help people.
Exactly. So it's just to show my range of different services in case someone, a plumber came up to me and wanted me to build a website, I could do that.
Okay.
And show them what I've done in the past of similar sites. So I wanted to have that portfolio built. And so one of the things I did with was a sports site. I wanted to have that side of it. A lot of people are interested in sports, so that's kind of what I did. I built this sports site called KentuckySports.co. It wasn't for anybody. It was just for me, just to kind of show exactly what I can do.
Okay.
And I just had some friends contact me that, that showed a little interest in maybe writing for the site because they liked the name of it. They liked the design of it, and they thought there was a—
And they were personal in your—
Sure. Yeah, friends of mine that you know, that saw it on Facebook, and they saw me purchase the domain name when I announced it on Facebook.
And every Kentucky sports fan is an expert, of course.
That's right. That's right.
So they're all qualified to actually sit and write something because they know everything.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So that's kind of how I got started. We started writing for the site. It expanded a little bit from there. And I always had an interest in audio and video, and that's always something I wanted to do with the site. Is if I was going to start the site and it was going to take off from somewhere, I wanted to have some sort of podcast in there because I think that generates a lot of interest for the readers. If they go and read the site, they're also going to have someone they connect to in the podcast. They're going to have a relationship with those people that are writing, and that's always a portion of that I wanted to keep on. So I did that. We started a podcast in my basement when we first started the site, and at first it was just audio for the first couple weeks. But I've always had an interest in video portion of it as well. So we kind of moved over to the video portion of it.
Did you have video editing skills or audio editing skills or anything, or did you figure that out as you went along?
Everything I've pretty much done, I've learned on my own. I always dealt with Sony Vegas, these editing programs where I've used in the past. I've never been an expert in it, but I'm fairly good at certain areas and certain aspects of everything, but okay. I don't specialize in one particular area, but I like to enjoy basically all aspects of doing things like that. So I knew the basic programs to video edit and things like that. Mainly what I wanted to get into though was the live editing, and which was the most challenging is finding the right software and things for that.
To webcast, so
to webcast. There you go. To live webcast.
So live rather than recorded. That's interesting to me.
Yep.
I'm such an on-demand guy.
Yeah.
Just because that's what society is living in. It's an on-demand world now, so the live thing has always sort of thrown me. And I've had many people say, "You should, you know, why don't you program in some live stuff?" And so, because people have to set appointments around that, and I don't know. I guess I'm just a bigger fan of people being able to consume what they want when they want,
sure,
rather than have to schedule their lives. The last thing I scheduled my life around was Lost,
yeah,
and that went off the air what 3 years ago,
that was
4 years
show.
Ago.
That was a good show,
and. And ever since then, even, you know, I love The Walking Dead, but I know I can spend $1.99 and get the episode that ran last night off of Amazon. So I'm not that panicky about it. And I just, that's sort of driving my mentality on doing all of this podcasty stuff.
I guess it was more of a challenge for me. I wanted that challenge to learn something new. And that's always what I want to do is just learn something, a new aspect of something. So that's kind of the direction it took me, because I knew our goal was to eventually be on the radio, and in order to do that, we'd have to be familiar with the live aspect of doing the podcast, because it is a little bit different if you're doing it live compared to a podcast.
Where
you have editing options, and you can always edit out things you say that are not
element of fear.
Exactly. Yeah. So it actually helped in preparation for us moving on down the road. With 1450 as well. So
the name of your company is?
Kysco Broadcasting. KYSCO Broadcasting LLC is the actual company name. And we started that because we wanted to expand upon not just the website, but also build a podcasting network where we allow others to podcast as well. And then also we can venture onto other things such as live sports broadcasting, which is something we also have a lot of interest in.
Okay. So is this all ad supported or?
100% ad supported. Most of it is AdSense. We do have some relationships we have through the radio station, but mainly, it's all ad supported.
The whole thing from now until perpetuity will be ad supported, rather
correct.
Than
well, eventually,
I mean, you're allowing other people to podcast on your platform.
That's one thing we want to do to draw people in. We want them to know it's free. I mean, that a lot of people can't go to these. Are going to go to these places that are like any of these websites out there, Podbean, those places like that, where you're going to go on there to and you have to pay a premium amount for a certain amount of space.
For hosting.
Exactly.
Yeah.
we're taking a little bit different angle on that. We eventually will offer a premium service where you're going to have a certain amount of space you're allowed to have for a certain amount. That's kind of in the building process with what we're doing.
And if you're building all of this, I'm sorry, I'm a little scattershot with my questioning, but
no, that's perfect.
But you're building the platform from the ground up yourself, right?
Correct. Yeah. We built the platform from the ground up because when we started doing the radio show, one podcast platform in order to do it live was a company called iHi.com where they allow, it's basically free for them as well. It's all ad supported for them. And that's a platform that allowed us to do our show and have unlimited storage and not have to worry about paying storage charges. And we wanted to take that aspect of it and do our own little angle on it, okay, to where certain things we didn't like about what they did, we could change and do on our end.
They got pretty deep pockets.
They do. Yeah. But I also think there's some things that are doing incorrectly that everybody has their own opinion, but I mean,
sure,
it's that I think we could have done a little bit better. And with the technologies, I just thought they were a little bit outdated. There's things we could do better, with a little bit less money. And that's what we have. We obviously don't have the pockets that they have, but we have the minds and we have the platform. I think now once we built is to expand upon that and be a little bit better than what we had before.
And your platform is livesportscaster.com. Right?
Livesportscaster.com. Anybody can register on the site, and what that does is allows you to podcast audio or video. Right now we're using a third-party live streaming program to live stream through the site, but it's mainly built around podcasting. So it's okay, easily to go on the CMS of the website, the back end of the website, log in, upload your podcast, and have it available to the front end right away.
So sports is your thing.
Sports is the thing. Right. We focus on that. I mean, it does kind of limit us, but at the same time, as long as we focus on what's good, and then I know people, almost everybody's interested in sports. Not everybody's interested in starting their own podcast, but as long as we have the viewership there, as long as we're continuing to do the live streams, the sports shows, and of the sports broadcasts, high school sports, we're always going to have that viewership there. We'll help support the ads that we bring on.
And anybody can do it.
Anybody can do it.
Okay. Yeah. Let's talk about your, the planning for all of this, and how you did you sit down with a room of guys, and did you like put together a business model, or is this all just sort of how have you funded, I guess, what it is, mm-hmm, you've done so far, and sort of, you know, my theory is that everybody has an idea to do something.
Sure.
And a lot of people don't know where to start. So I'm always curious as to, okay, I have an idea. What did you do next? And then, mm-hmm, sort of walk us through that timeline. You sort of have already, but I want to get more,
sure,
specific.
Well, it started just with that iHi thing. We were having some frustrations with that, and I sat down with the guys and told them, you know, we're trying to do this live. We're trying to do this correctly. We're trying to gain a relationship with the people that are listening and watching our show, and it's hard to do that with our streams cutting out every 30 seconds and every 45 seconds, and we're not providing that
seamless experience.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So it's hard to get people to focus on your show every single week when they're having issues every single week. So they've got to go out of their way to install a program onto their computer before they can even watch it. Sometimes that's a deterrent for people to watch it. So we wanted to do things a little bit different. So I sat down with the guys and said, you know, let's do this ourselves. There's no reason for us to rely on someone else when we can do it ourselves. So that's what we did. We kind of sat down, thought exactly how we could do it. We thought we just wanted to build our own little mini iHi.com is what we, okay, wanted to do. And so we just sat down, what are the features we like? What are the features we don't like? What can we do better?
Just deconstructed what,
exactly,
it is the day we're doing from the outside looking in. I
exactly,
assume.
Yeah. And that's kind of where it started from there. The next thing to do was exactly how far should we take it? Should we build it from the ground up? Should we start with an existing CMS? Should we...
It's good that you had experience with CMS.
Sure,
so
yeah.
So you could know,
yeah,
what you're capable of.
Yeah, exactly. Because costs can be obviously prohibitive, so you want to figure out exactly what's the best way to go about it without hurting your pocketbook too much.
Sure.
But in the end, there was just nothing out there that really felt met our needs. One of these sites out here would do just video only. Another site out there would just do audio only. Another site out there, you know, just different aspects of it that just wouldn't work. So the only decision was to just kind of contact a developer and have him, a programmer, and have him develop exactly what we wanted.
Is this somebody you knew?
No, it's just somebody we went on to one of those Elance, the freelancer sites.
Gotcha.
And got it from there.
And you got a bid on that and said, this, you know, this is what we have. Can you do it for this?
It's just,
I mean, it's kind of convenient.
There's so many bids that come at you, and some are just, they might look nice on the front, and you got to do a little more deeper investigation to know exactly what you're dealing with, because some of these developers will just have things that are already built, that they've already built, that don't exactly suit your needs. You'll accept the bid form, and then they'll do all the work, ask you to pay money, but it's not exactly what you wanted.
Right.
And in order for them to get what you wanted, you have to pay more money, more money, more money, just yeah. continuing the cycle. So there's a lot of research that goes into these bids that come in. And a lot of times you don't find exactly what you want, but
and you just
I think we got lucky enough to find somebody that was willing to work with us and was nice enough. There wasn't that much language barrier there, so we could talk back and forth pretty easily through Skype, and we had a lot of good connections and a lot of the same interests, so we could talk back and forth and develop exactly what we wanted. So
was that a thing, just a bootstrap situation where you just had, okay, I got to pay for this? Yeah. Dug deep, and did you have to finance anything? Was it that big of a project?
Or? No, it's an ongoing project. It starts small. You know, we built just the back end of the site, then we built the front end of the site. We built some features as we're going on. We're still building. I mean, we don't have iTunes connectivity built in yet. As we're going along, we're adding features as I can afford it. So it's something I'm doing all out of pocket, but at the same time,
There's always a Kickstarter, bro.
Yeah,
always a Kickstarter.
Yeah, exactly. May have to do something.
You
like
know
that.
That I'm a fan of that.
Exactly. I know, and it seems to do well for you. So it's probably something I should look into.
Hopefully, we'll get there. But that's the big question: is people have an idea, how are they going to get them paid for?
Sure.
So this seems like something that you have built, and you're sort of running it locally at this point.
Absolutely.
But to scale much higher than just Kentuckiana. Or Louisville.
We hope to. We don't want to expand too far. We don't want to spread ourselves too thin. We obviously start small within the Indiana, since we're already affiliated with the Indiana station here, the Indiana, Kentucky, Ohio, Tennessee, in this general area. We don't want to expand too far out and have people in California when we're here, just time zone issues. We don't have the manpower yet to provide support and things for some people, in different time zones. But then again, that's eventually somewhere we want to go because, it's just a big market.
Work on your business, not in it. Reach out to the professionals at OPM Entrepreneurial. Find out how 20 years of experience working with startups can help grow your business. Pre-revenue through IPO, OPM can put the accounting and fundraising procedures in place to give you confidence in your company's financial position. These guys are not accountants working with entrepreneurs. They're entrepreneurs who just happen to do accounting. OPM Accounting and Equity Crowdfunding, find them online at opmfinancial.com. You just don't have any plans to raise any money. I mean, there are the VC guys are out there, the angel investors, and I, that's not something that I've really approached because I really am dealing on a local level. I guess what I'm trying to do with Louisville.am and podcasts is so hyper local that it's not built to scale necessarily, but this is my sandbox. Mm-hmm. And once I perfect my little, rocket sauce, then I'll be able to hopefully replicate that in a different form somewhere else. But you, from the get-go, you're built to scale. So I think there's an opportunity if you put the pitch together to maybe there's a sports-minded angel out there. Sure. who's interested in this sort of thing.
In the future, in order to compete nationally, in order to get the prices where we need to be for streaming costs and bandwidth, we'll have to be a significant investment. As of right now, what we're doing, we're pretty comfortable with where we're at, but we also want to grow further. So that's eventually something down the road we'll have to do, more than likely, to stay competitive.
Is this your first entrepreneurial venture?
No, I've had several.
Other than, I guess, building websites for people on the side. I do that too, but
yeah,
never considered that necessarily.
Yeah, I also own a business called lumapic.com, which is lighted advertising. It uses electroluminescent technology, which is a flexible poster-like material that you can cut and that also lights up. It's powered by either 12-volt or you can plug it into the wall. But it's basically
my brain is having a hard time coming up with that. You're going to have to show me an example.
Yeah, well, I'll have to show it to you. There's actually one in the back of my car, but it gives businesses the opportunity to advertise 24/7 instead of just having a sticker on the back of your car, which you can't see very well at night. Gives businesses the opportunity, like taxi companies, plumbing companies, people that are out at night, those businesses opportunity to advertise their businesses in a shocking way that'll light up and flash and do whatever you need it to do. But that's programmed by a little inverter that's in a box that you power it.
Okay. Did you invent that?
No, it's actually it's actually in China. Electroluminescent technology is used in dashboards for cars, the odometers and things that light up. That's electroluminescent technology in a lot of those. So
Well, the application for signage.
It is a different application. Yeah, there are other companies. I think there's one in Las Vegas, one in California that use it, but it's mainly in the.
I just thought I had a big scoop here. Like, oh my gosh, this guy just invented this stuff I've never heard of, and I can't reconcile.
But you can use it for anything. We actually developed a cornhole product where it's lighted cornhole, where the lights around the edge of the cornhole board, the cornhole the hole in the middle will flash. It has arrows flashing to show you exactly where to throw the bag.
Next application. Putting it in the toilet so guys at there night don't pee all there over the go. Bathroom when they're groggy and have had too much to drink and it's 3 a.m.
Yeah, I'll have to figure out the waterproofing issue. But,
man, you have women all over the country that will pay through the nose for that
stuff. Yeah, no kidding.
So that's cool.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that, but yeah, I mean, just several other smaller ventures like that I've always been interested in. But
Where does that come from in you? Why? I mean,
I think it runs in the family. My grandfather, I don't know how long you've lived in Louisville, but he used to own, he started from scratch, Derby Cone Company, which is an ice cream cone company. They used to sponsor the Kentucky Derby Festival and things like that. And he had that spirit on my mom's side of the family. And a lot of my mom's side of the family has that entrepreneurial spirit. My dad's family, not so much, but I think that's probably where it came from. I've always been interested in dabbing into things and seeing if I can make it work a little bit better than somebody else.
Did you have conversations with him when you were growing up or?
Yeah, I hung around the plant a lot, and he built a very substantial business out of a market that wasn't really large around here. I mean, he was one of the only people to make cones around this tri-state area, so he had that market pretty much solid until some of these bigger companies started buying all these other companies, and it kind of made it tougher on him in the 90s. But
so they're out of business?
They're out of business now. He passed away. My uncle took over, and then within a couple of years it
Just folded, or folded. Did they get bought out or anything? That's not a happy ending at
just
all.
Just went out of business, yeah.
Man, that's a bummer.
Yeah, yeah, but no, he did build something substantial. I've always, even when I was a kid, when I was working there, I just always wanted to have something like that. It's my own thing where I didn't have to go in 9 to 5 and have to work for somebody else. It's always been important to me to always try to build something myself.
So how many people are on your team then?
Right now, there is 6 of us. Not 6 business owners, but 6 of us that are working with the site that do different things. We have.
And you're the chief guy?
We're actually partnered between 3 different people in the business. So 3 of us kind of have equal opportunity what we want to say. I'm more of the technology side. Most of the other guys don't know exactly how to take that angle of it. But there's a sales guy we have on the team that does, tries to find advertisers, that does some blogging for us as well. Okay. So we all have different facets that we like. One of them is a host, obviously, that hosts the show that does more of that end of it, that has the connections there with the local media, things like that that I wouldn't suit well with. I mean, I told you the first time we met that I wasn't real big into sports. I like sports, but I couldn't sit here and talk about it all day
could
this. So it's a totally different aspect.
I just blindly follow the Hoosiers and whatever they
all
do
have
is great
our specialties.
With me, and their Reds are great.
Exactly. I like to watch it, but don't ask me any history on it.
So how does that work with the 3 of you? Do you get together regularly, or is this it's an organization, but
sure.
I assume you're all doing different things as well.
We are.
So how do you manage that time?
We, believe it or not, as corny as it may sound, we use Facebook a lot. We message on Facebook every day. I mean, just back and forth ideas of what we can do. But we also obviously meet twice a week when we do the weekend radio show. We sit here and we usually get here 30, 45 minutes early and chit-chat about what we can do and what we've done and what we're, how to expand the site, things like that. So we meet at least twice a week. So that does help. And then also, like I said, we talk on Facebook a lot through messaging and brainstorm ideas as well.
Okay. And you're just buddies from high school something?
Yeah, most of us are buddies. Not everybody, but most of us went to the same high school together and just kind of...
No conflicts?
No.
Does it get heated at times?
The sports talk, which I kind of stay out of because I don't have no basis. I can't sit there and tell somebody one thing when they know a lot more about it than I do.
People argue about sports all day long, but I'm talking about the business,
business side of it.
As the tech guy, are they saying we should be able to make toast with our website? And you're like, listen, you guys,
they'll get on me about little quirks about the website. Blogging's not working correctly. I can't log into the site. Things every now and then you have server issues, and you get that a little bit. But we stay pretty calm. We try to work it out as good as possible. Luckily, I have a good. My host is the host of the website is pretty good about if we ever do have any issues, which is few and far in between. But if we do, I can call him up on the phone and have it resolved in a few minutes. So it's nothing. I can dab into some coding if I have to. So if for some reason we have a white screen on the site, I can go in there and try to resolve that myself. But I'm not, obviously, like I told you, I'm not a programmer. I can't write code at all, but I can usually resolve
this. Is
problems.
Not a full-time thing for you at this point.
No.
Well, I shouldn't say that. You may be, in fact, spending 40 hours a week on it,
yeah.
But you have other things that you're doing. So how do you manage that? I think for a lot of people who are considering starting something up, a lot of us can't afford to just hit the ground running and drop everything and say, this is our deal here.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you reconcile that? You got a family, too.
I do, yeah. So. It takes dedication and time management. Obviously, if I'm going from my 40-hour week job, going home, and then working on a website, and then my wife goes to sleep at 9 or 10 o'clock, she doesn't see me. So I've got to manage that time. Luckily, I'm a night owl, so I can usually stay up pretty late and work on the things I need to late at night. I'm always available on my cell phone, so I can manage my time pretty well. That's the thing that I need to realize is there's always important. There's the family time that you have to take care of when you get off there because, you know, obviously you want to raise your children right. You want to show them their dad's there. So you want to have that aspect of it, and I want to have that.
That's
well,
tough
so.
For our guys in our generation.
Yeah, exactly.
I think that's an important thing to us to because, you know, the problems that it causes if dad's not around.
Sure.
So I think we're more sensitive in our generation than maybe they were the previous generation.
And luckily, I have
just
a little bit. I have a little bit of flexibility with my job that I have during the day that I am able to take my kids to appointments and I'm on the road a lot and I work from home. So it's something I generally do. So that does help a lot in it. And if you have a job where you're behind a desk all day and you're away from your family, it's a little bit harder to do. But it's just finding those times where it makes it work for everybody is important. So
finding that balance is
exactly
a little easier. I guess you're flexible.
Yeah.
So what's down the road? You guys are still – you're ironing out some things about the website. How many shows are you hosting then?
We have currently 10 podcast sites that go with our site, including 1450 AM here that hosts their podcast on the site.
The Sports Buzz.
The Sports Buzz.
Okay.
Yes, including them. And we're obviously adding people as it goes. We just launched in January, so it's a fairly new project.
Oh, wow. I had no idea. Okay. That new.
The podcast portion of it, yeah, we just launched in January. So, and as I said, it's kind of an ongoing process. We're adding features as it goes. But it's been interesting at first. There's a lot of quirks. We went through a little bit of beta test program and got a lot of those bugs worked out and it's coming together for sure.
And then what's holding you back? Like, what's the biggest problem that you have to solve with where you are right now to where it is you want to be in a year?
We want to be to where someone, if they want a live broadcast on that side of it, we'll be able to live broadcast from the front end without having to contact me. They just log into the site. They register for an account. It gives them a stream name, a stream ID. They use the stream encoder. All just walk through themselves without having me go through there and set up each individual person. And once that happens, we want the ability for them, once they broadcast, for it to immediately archive on the site rather than having to upload the podcast to the site. It'll automatically be there.
It becomes a self-service
similar
sort of
to
utility.
Like a Ustream or something similar to that. Yeah, that's exactly what we want to be.
Well, and that way you get to make money while you're asleep.
Exactly.
Because people are signing up and they're hosting and producing shows and it's creating this content. And
the less manpower and less work I have, less costs overhead I have is better. So
that's the dream, babe.
That's right.
When you wake up in the morning, you find an email and says, somebody so-and-so just bought this and this money went into your account. You're like, well, that's new.
Make money while you're sleeping, exactly. Yeah. And we don't want people to think we're just a video site because that's not true. It is based on a video platform. But we give the opportunity, because we do use a video player for our audio podcast, which is a different way of doing it, we have the ability for their advertisers. If they bring in advertisers, we can set up an ad, a pre-roll or post-roll or mid-roll ads for the people that they bring in video format. So they can throw a picture up there and actually show the advertisers that we're showing your logo, we're showing exactly we're showing the front of your building, we're showing, you know, what you can do.
Okay.
And then so that pre-roll ad will play, and then the audio portion will play, and we allow them to put their own picture in the video player. So if they have a logo or something they want to use, they can put that in there. Where a lot of times with some of these audio podcast platforms, you don't really get to do that too long. Some of them you do, but not
so,
a whole lot.
So they're bringing the advertiser as well?
They can bring the advertiser. We don't take any portion of that. Our eventual goal is to be 100% ad-based. So when they're bringing traffic to our site, we're showing the advertisers the traffic that we're bringing in.
I gotcha.
And we're able to generate revenue that way. But eventually we will add premium services that allow for more space, allow for high definition streaming capabilities, things like that as we go along.
So I guess technology would have to you could probably do a video stream in high def now, but it probably takes an enormous amount of
you have to have sufficient upload
The equipment to handle it.
Right.
And that's not always easy.
Yep, exactly. So there's something we need to work out. That's one of those times where we need to sit down. What are we going to offer as premium features? You know, is it space? Is it streaming quality? Is it advertising capability where they're able to add their own advertisers? That's something we can work out packages for. That's something that'll be down the road.
I think in just my short experience with this, I'm going through the Lean Launchpad training, mm-hmm. and talking about getting out of the building and asking people, if you have a theory, go ask a bunch of people. What would you expect to pay for this? What do you need help with?
Sure.
The number one thing that I got from, I don't know a ton of podcasters around town. That's changing the more I do this, mm-hmm. and the more I talk about my plan with Louisville.am and meeting guys like you. Almost everybody says, I need help making money. I need help with monetization. So folding that into whatever it is you guys are doing, say, host your podcast with us. Video or audio will bring you some money.
Sure.
That's just my two cents as an outside observer. And, you know, this is all coming from several replies on a Google Plus page for podcasters, you know. So take it for what it's worth.
Right.
But that's just... Yeah, we two podcast guys rapping, you know, that's what we come up with.
Yeah, exactly.
So
yeah, we just our main goal is just to make it as simple as possible for our end users. If we can make it simple and they like it and it's better than what they've been using before, they'll be willing to pay for it for premium services. And once we offer that, you know, that's where the turning table will be. That's where we're going to be able to move forward. So
well, clearly, I think it's a great concept. I love the idea of podcasting and the fact that you have your own this thing that you've built from the ground up in this platform. That allows people access, I think, is great. So, you know, I'm not here to just pat everybody on the back, but I'm a fan.
Yeah. So I knew once I saw your Kickstarter, and that's how I originally contacted you, was I knew that we were in the same interest field. I knew we both had the same interests. I knew we could work together somehow. So I hope we figure that out. And it should
well,
be
just, you know, let's go visit the Kickstarter page right now, and we'll just get that taken care
let's
of.
Do it.
Thanks for sitting down with me.
No problem. Thank you.